All right. Praise the Lord. Great to see y'all here this evening. And those of us here online, if you would stand, if you can, we're going to start out by singing Get All Excited. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Amen. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the I know of a name, a beautiful name, that angels brought down to earth. They whispered it low one night long ago to a maiden of lowly birth. That beautiful name, that beautiful name, from sin has power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus. I know of a name, a beautiful name, that unto a babe was given. The stars glittered bright throughout that glad night, and angels praised God in heaven. That beautiful name, from sin has power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus. The one of that name, my Savior became, my Savior of Calvary. My sins nailed him there, my burdens to bear. He suffered all this for me. That beautiful name from sin has power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus. I love that blessed name, that wonderful name, made higher than all in heaven. 'Twas whispered, I know, in my heart long ago, to Jesus my life I've given. That beautiful name, from sin has power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sing we now of Christmas, Noel, sing we here. Listen to our praises to the babe so dear. Sing we Noel, the King is born, Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we all Noel. Shepherds on the hillside heard the angels sing. Glory, honor, praises to the infant King. Sing we Noel, the King is born, Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we all Noel. In the town they found him, son of Mary mild, sleeping in a manger was the holy child. Sing we Noel, the King is born, Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we all Noel. Wise men sought and found him, treasures did they bring. Bowing down before they worshipped Christ the King of Kings. Sing we Noel, the King is born, Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we all Noel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody have a pick of him this evening? 285 already. Oh, holy night. 285.
Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, all night divine, oh, all night when Christ was born, all night, oh, holy night, all night divine. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings laid thus in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need, to our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King, before him lowly bend. Behold your King, before him lowly bend. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, oh praise his name forever, his power and glory evermore proclaim, his power and glory evermore proclaim. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any other pick of hymns this evening? Going once, going twice. Well, amen.
Well, amen, man. A few of us here tonight. Guess what Sunday is? Yeah, Christmas. Christmas. Yeah, it's a real Super Bowl, yeah. God's Super Bowl. Amen. Yeah, let's see. I think I had something for you guys. Let me see if I can find it. I think it's in here. Something about Christmas. Yeah. Yes, correct. Four stages of life. Ready for the four stages of life? You sure? Sure you can handle the four stages of life. Here they are. All right, man. Those of you online, hold on. Pay attention. Stage number one, you believe in Santa Claus. Stage number two, you don't believe in Santa Claus. Stage number three, you are Santa Claus. Amen. And stage number four, you look like Santa Claus. Amen. I'll give you some more. You know what success is, right? You sure? Success. All right. At age four, success is not wearing a diaper. Yes? At age 12, success is having friends. At age 16, success is having a driver's license. At age 35, success is having money. At age 50, success is having money. But at age 70, success is having a driver's license. At age 75, success is having friends. Amen? And at age 80, success is not wearing a diaper. All right, enough of that. Let's have some praises. You got any praises tonight? Laughter does the heart good, doesn't it? Praises. Anybody got a praise? Yes, sir. Oh, amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's good. How's Miss Hartz doing? Did y'all talk to her? Dorothy Hartz? Okay, Miss Sissy talked to her. All right, amen. Amen, very good. And Miss Sakura, how's Miss Sakura doing? Good, amen, all right. Barbara McNew, she doing good? Amen. Linda, yeah, okay, Linda Hudson, yeah. Amen, Linda Hudson, way to go, Linda. All right, all right. Outstanding. Other praises. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. Into his home, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they got a lot of decisions to make. Yeah. I think they're back down the road this way. Can't remember exactly where. Well, that's a good word. Amen. Peggy's okay. Outstanding. All right, what else? What else? Any other praises? What you got? All right, Jeanette's hanging in there. All right. Amen. Kevin doing better. Yeah, amen. Kevin's doing better. You good? You got all your praises in? All right, amen. Yeah, I'll get you some water. Non-potable water so you can flush the toilet. Yeah. What you got, brother? Amen. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, amen. All right. What else? Anything else? All right. What do you guys got for prayer requests? Prayer requests. A little bit. Yeah. Larry. Barbara Manning, she's in rehab. All right, and that son's name again? Isaiah. So he's in rehab as well. Did he get his feeling back, or is he no? Okay. Is he paralyzed from the waist down? Okay. So he's going to be a paraplegic. Of the bills, yeah. Okay. All right, Isaiah. Healing. What else? All right, good girl. Amen. What you got? Yeah, you pray for your pastor. He gets to feeling better. Amen. He's got an appointment. Your pastor's got an appointment tomorrow at 1. What did I say? 1:45? Yeah, don't let me be late. Let's see here. All right, all right. What else? What you got, man? Amen, brother. It's going to be a rough couple nights for the homeless folks. Yeah. Cold snap. Yes, sir, John. Yeah. Have you heard of a lot of them being canceled? I haven't heard of any services canceled around here. Are they really? Christmas Eve. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Amen, amen. What else, what else? Anything else? Traveling Mercies. All right, Traveling Mercies Unspoken. Is that it? All right. You got one back there, brother?
Yeah, a prayer request, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Rebecca Woods, pray for great-granddaughter for Jordan. She has a cyst on her spleen.
Jordan. Cyst on spleen.
And then pray for my own dad. His name's Frank Allison. He's up north in Pennsylvania, but he's in the hospital, not feeling good.
Okay. So
pray for his health.
All right. Got us? Got everybody covered? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll begin to lift these up this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you for this this blessed time we can gather together and in your name and sing praises to your name, Lord. We love you tonight. We praise you for all that you've accomplished for us, all that you've done for us. We just praise you, Lord, that you did come and take on the form of a human. And Lord, you lived among us and you lived a perfect life and died for our sins. We praise you and thank you for that salvation provided for us. We thank you for Bible study, Lord, and getting together and fellowshipping over the Word. We thank you that Kevin is doing better with his issues, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that. Jeanette's healthy, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that. And then, Lord, the contact with Bill Marshall talking about Peggy, or Bill Murray talking about Peggy. Or Marshall, I can't remember. But Lord, we're thankful for Peggy. We're thankful that she's getting a transition to live with her son. And we just lift her up, pray you protect her, Lord. And Lord, we're thankful for the shut-ins and the widows that received a visit from our deacons and Brother John. We pray that be a great encouragement to them this holiday season. And Lord, just letting them know that their church family loves them. And thinks about them often, Lord. We do think about them and pray for them. So we praise you and thank you for them and their continued support, watching us online and praying for the congregation. Thank you for them. We praise you for our shut-ins and our widows that can't make it here any longer. Lord, as we lift these prayer requests up to you, we lift up several family members. We pray for Stephanie, her father Larry. We pray for their health, Lord, healing to them. And we just pray you get Larry's body ready to go under the knife, that surgery for that triple bypass. We're praying for him, Lord, that would extend life and give him some quality of life as he struggles on with all the different issues that he's dealing with. We lift up Barbara Manning and her continued rehabilitation. Pray that all all her body parts come back online, Lord. She's able to come back to full health. Just pray you be with her this Christmas, Lord. Help her stay encouraged. Be with her as well as Isaiah, adjusting to a new way of life. We pray that you just give him the strength and the grace and the courage, Lord, to withstand what he's got to withstand and undergo what he's got to undergo. Pray that workman's comp takes care of him, Lord, and pays those bills and just keeps him afloat. But, Lord, we lift Isaiah up to you. We are thankful that Jeanette's doing well. We do pray for her. Help her stay safe. Keep from falling, Lord. Just help her with her balance. They're living alone by herself. Watch over her. Lord, we lift up all the homeless folks. And, Lord, in the midst of this cold snap, we pray that you would help some of them that just prefer to be by themselves would swallow their pride and their preference, and they would seek shelter and come inside. And that may mean sobering up for a day or two, Lord. Help them do that. Help them get off the drugs for a few days to at least have an opportunity to live. And so, Lord, we just pray that there wouldn't be a huge loss of life this cold snap, God, that you just protect people and help people. Thank you for the warming centers that have opened up, and we pray people would have the sense that don't have any heat in their homes, don't have any heat in their trailers, don't have any heat in their RVs, Lord, to seek these warming shelters. Lord, we pray for the churches across the land this coming Sunday that they would be open and just celebrate the birth of you, that you've come to tabernacle among us. We praise you and thank you for that. Thank you that we can tentatively plan and have a service this Sunday. If we got power and don't have any pipes burst, Lord, we just pray that we'd be able to hold church in here on Sunday. So, Lord, we lifting that up to you as well. Lord, we pray for traveling mercies for those that are on the road and have been on the road. We pray you bring them back safely. And, Lord, we pray for those that want to imbibe too much of the spirits and too much of the alcohol. Lord, we pray that there'd be wise people around them, take their keys and love them enough to take their keys and give them a place to sleep it off. So, Lord, we're praying for traveling mercies and all the get-togethers. Pray that there be wisdom prevail in the midst of all the celebrations. We lift up the unspokens to you tonight, Lord. Thank you that we can give them to you again and silently pray them up to you tonight, Lord, as we go through this time of our prayer time. Lord, we know you hear us and we know you care for us and we know you're a God that has the answers. And, Lord, you're the God that can do anything. So, Lord, we just rest in your peace, in your assurance, and we just praise you and thank you tonight for hearing those unspokens. Lord, we lift up Jordan to you tonight and this cyst on her spleen, and we just pray you might remedy that situation, remove it, bring healing to that spleen, Lord. I pray she not have to have the spleen removed. If there's some way, somehow, they can remove the cyst, Lord, I pray that be an option. And then, Lord, we lift up Frank Allison to you. We pray for his healing all the way up there in Pennsylvania. Watch over him. Be with him. Strengthen him, Lord, and just bring healing to him. Pray for the people in Ukraine, God, in this midst of this winter and Russia attacking all the power structure and the power grid over there, Lord, and trying to plunge those people into darkness, into deep, dark cold. And we just we lift them up to you, Lord. We pray you help them. Help them survive as a democracy and help them drive out the aggressor. Help them hang tough during this winter. Lord, we are thankful for all the rain you've sent. We praise you and thank you for that rain. And Lord, after the cold snap, you want to send some more? We surely will take it. So Lord, we just praying for rain, thanking you for the rain, and just Lord, receiving the rain. So Lord, we love you tonight. We praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the power of it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. All right, man, you pray for me. Amen. Amen. Come on, Mike.
Okay, so
wake up back there, brother.
All right, we'll lift the pastor up. Dear Heavenly Father, first off, we give just honor you and praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you've done for us, God. And we thank you for our pastor, Lord, and the work he's done here this year. And we do wish him a Merry Christmas and his family, Lord. And tomorrow he's going to check out. He's been having a little stomach problem, Lord, and we just want to lift that up to you, Lord, and we just pray there's not much. We find out there's nothing bad. We give him some medicine where he can eat, and when he eats, his food don't bother him, and you know he can get some rest, Lord. We want him to be rest, give him rest, and keep him strong and healthy. Amen. And Lord, we thank you again for him and all the work he does and studying, and Lord, and the time he puts in that, Lord, and preaching the word the way it should be preached, Lord, and he lets that Holy Spirit work in him. And, Lord, we just lift him up to you. We lift up his wife, Steph. We pray for her, you know, and her health and her dad, Larry. And we pray for Brother Lee's mom and the family up in Dallas, I guess, up around that area. And Lord, we take care of them. But and we pray for Trevor and Olivia and Lily and Aubrey, Lord. We just... lift them up, God, and we just thank you for what he does. And tomorrow, Lord, just put your hand on him. Get that, just let it, whatever's bothering him, just go away. The doctors find what it is, and we love him, and we thank you, Brother Lee, for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, thank you, brother.
All right, if you got a copy of God's Word, let's get our Christmas message on, because Sunday will be more of a candlelight service and observance of the Lord's Supper. And we'll read the Christmas story on Sunday, but we want to really get into the Word tonight and think about Christmas. So I invite you to stand, take your Bibles and turn to John's Gospel, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll skip her on down and read verse 14. A powerful passage. The other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, see the same. Kind of look at Jesus' life the same. John takes a different approach. He's more of a theological take on the life and times of Christ. So John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. If you found that this evening, would you say amen? All right, the Word of God reads in John chapter 1. Those of you with us online, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." You'll jump down to verse 14 and look at that verse very specifically with me. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. You may be seated. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, Christmas. What is Christmas? Christmas is God's greatest speech. And I would say in the Gospel of John, this one verse here in verse 14, is the greatest story of Christmas. It certainly is the shortest. Amen. It certainly is the shortest. And when we think of Christmas, for a lot of folks, it gets real sentimental. And for a lot of folks, it gets real mean when it gets time for Christmas. When I was driving in tonight, coming up here to the Walgreens, I was trying to get through the light, and I could not believe the traffic. I don't know why. Everybody's off on vacation. I don't know what's going on. But man, the line to take a right here, to go that way, whoo, that sucker was long. And then the line coming past our church going this way, I could not believe it. And there was a guy, he was in one of the one-ton trucks, and he wanted to take a ride at Walgreens, and there were cars, you know, going 2 or 3 miles an hour. He thought he'd just jump over there in the midst of them. And I kept watching him trying to bulldoze his way in there. And I thought, well, fella, that sure is kind of rude and mean and not very nice. I thought I was going to see right there at 6:05 in the evening, I thought I was going to see a road rage incident. I thought it was going to bust out right there. I thought they were going to hit each other. This guy would jump in it, and then this guy would jump in this. So it's sentimentality, or it brings out the worst in us, amen, when we get to the holidays, when we think of Christmas. Now, you go to a Christmas-themed service or even a Christmas party, and the pastor or someone speaks and shares a few words, and people connect with the idea of Christmas sentiment pretty quick. And when we gather to sing the Christmas carols, our faces immediately get all happy. I mean, you can't sing a Christmas carol and be sad, can you? I mean, that one that we sang tonight. What was the title of that one? No, the one before it. That beautiful name. Wow, you can't sing that with a frown on your face, amen? And happy faces aren't a bad thing. Happy faces are a good thing, amen? We connect Christmas to time spent with family, to time, to gifts. We connect Christmas with time off from work and things like that. But the concern in our very carnal commercial culture is that when we think of Christmas, connect with Christmas, we settle for far too little. Far too little when it comes to Christmas. Because the meaning of Christmas is inexhaustible. The meaning of Christmas is infinite. The meaning of Christmas is filled with theological power. It's filled with life-changing truths. The beginning of Matthew and the beginning of Luke tell you about the facts of Christmas. They tell you what happened at Christmas. They tell you of the shepherds, and they talk about the angels, and they mention the baby and the manger and all the rest, where when we get to John chapter 1, it doesn't mention any of those things. What God talks about, what He's communicating through John via the person of the Holy Spirit, is what all those things in the beginning of Matthew and Luke, what they mean. Not so much what happened at Christmas, but what Christmas means. Amen? What it means. See, this is John's Christmas story, verse 14. So if you think you can tell the Christmas story without those features, if you think you cannot tell it without those features of the shepherds and the sheep, you're wrong. You can't tell the Christmas story without those features, because that's exactly what John does here. His Christmas story is one verse, verse 14. You with me so far? So number one, three things about this verse. Christmas is about the Word. It's about the Word. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. And we kind of gave you a kind of preliminary run into that in verses 1 through 5. But in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word. Christmas is about the Word. A person's Word. Their Word is the clearest and ultimate revelation of who they are. What the Bible says Jesus Christ is the Word of God, that is an amazing statement. The Bible is saying you cannot truly know God except through Christ. That's the only way. Jesus is the ultimate. He is the supreme revelation of who God is. And so, you know, we look at this and we read this and we study this and we spend years of our lives with this passage. And we wonder, why is Jesus called the Word? Why is He called the Word? Why not say in verse 1, in the beginning was Christ? Or in the beginning was Jesus? Or in the beginning was the Lord Jesus? Or in the beginning was the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not say in verse 14, and the Christ Jesus or Lord Jesus Christ became flesh? Why not say it like that? Well, the answer is because that term logos in the Greek, logos in the Greek, is so loaded with meaning both for the Jew and for the Gentile. The term logos is used once in verse 14 to describe the incarnation, the first advent, and three times in verse 1 it is used, and there is no explanation of that term. Do you see any explanation of that term in the passage? There's no explanation. Now, when a term is used in the Scriptures, when we find it in the Scriptures, and it is not explained, then we can assume that the audience receiving this gospel did not need an explanation. They already knew what that meaning of that word was. That the meaning of logos was so obvious what it meant that there was no need to explain it. And that would be the case here in our passage tonight. Gentile Greeks would read this and they would connect secularly, they would connect culturally with what John was saying. In the Greek world of philosophy and religion, the logos was believed to be a title given to a creative force, given to the ordering, intelligent mind of the universe. For the Greeks, this logos was an impersonal, non-person of knowledge and wisdom that existed. The Greek idea is still alive today. in the halls of universities and schools across this land. Instead of calling it the Greek logos, the liberal lost call it intelligent design. They speak of it as intelligent design. See, for the liberal left, it takes more faith than they can muster to believe in the system of evolution. So staying true to the rejection of Jesus Christ, they allow this intelligent design to take the place of evolution as a kind of non-theistic, watered-down deism called, as I've already mentioned, intelligent design. And the people who affirm that say that we have got to have an intelligent designer because we have an intelligent universe. Well, we do have an intelligent universe, and we do have an intelligent designer, but the good news of the gospel is you can know him. You can know him. What John is saying to the Gentile Greek mind is that the Logos is not an impersonal power, but a person. That's what he's saying, but a person. A personal God who came into the world in the man Jesus. Now, Jewish readers would read John's gospel and they would connect in a very scriptural way with what John was saying. Now, if you peruse through, if you take some time and go through the Old Testament, if you read the Old Testament, you will come across phrases like this. The word of the Lord came. And what is it talking about? The word of the Lord is it's coming to somebody. The word of the Lord came to so-and-so. Throw a name in there. It came to that prophet, or it came to that patriarch, or that character in the Old Testament book that you're in. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord was simply God revealing himself to his person and revealing his nature, revealing his will and his wisdom, his truth, his love, his grace, and his mercy. The word of the Lord was the expression of the personal God, the true and living God of the Old Testament. So the word of God, the personal God to the Jew in flesh, Jesus then is God in human flesh. Yes? Amen? He's the word of the living God. So what's John doing here by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit through John. John uses a term that provokes, that incites, that invites, that allows his audience to listen. So in the spirit of the passage, those of you with me online, and those of you hearing this after the fact, in the spirit of the passage, are you listening? Have you heard? Is the revelation of God resonating in your heart, vibrating through your body, or has something silenced the greatest word of all time? Amen, church? Christmas is about the truth. Secondly, Christmas is about God's grace. It's about God's grace. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It doesn't get more gracious than that. Does not get more gracious than that. God's gracious vulnerability in the person of Christ. His gracious vulnerability in the person of Christ says two things to us, doesn't it? It says, number one, that little fleshly baby. A little fleshly baby did not come to harm us, did he? No. Have you ever been physically assaulted by an infant? You'll never see any mugshot in any police station across this land of an infant that's been taken into custody for assault, because they don't assault anybody, right? Now, I have been what I thought was accosted by several infants, my children, right? They have used me as a restroom on a few occasions, especially when they were little and young and babies, amen? I'd be like, Stephanie, something's going on here. You need to take this kid. I don't know what this is. Hand off, right? And give her over them. Give them over. Amen. Right? I've never been, but I've been accosted, right? Babies are vulnerable. Vulnerable. Jesus' little fleshly body is going to grow and mature to adulthood to be killed for mine and your benefit, for our forgiveness of our sin. When the Lord of the universe came down, made flesh, he came down knowing it would cost his life. Are you still with me tonight? Amen? When Jesus took on human flesh, he was not risking death, Rather, he was surrendering to die for mine and yours and everyone else's sin. Well, it says more than just a little baby did not come to harm us. But also, it also says a flesh-covered God, a God that has taken on human form, can relate to us. Jesus knew hunger, loneliness. He knew homelessness. Jesus knew grief, rejection, betrayal, torture. Jesus experienced injustice. Jesus has experienced it all, friend. So often we sing at Christmas the song, "For unto us a child is born," based off Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor," right? Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, it says in Isaiah. Eternal Father, and it ends with Prince of Peace. Yes? Well, the best counselors, you know who the best counselors are, don't you? The best counselors are people who have been through a problem and they have come out on the other end and they still got everything about them. Amen? Those are the counselors. Those are the best counselors. They speak from experience. They're scared but alive, stronger, more adept to handle life. They're counselors who understand. That is why Jesus is the wonderful counselor, because the Word became flesh. So you can go to Him. You can go to Him. Which if you can go to Him, then we must trust Him. And if we must trust Him, then we can give Him our burdens, can we not? Yes? Let me give you an example. People think this, maybe not in here, but people seeing this online perhaps, they think what I'm about to share with you after what I've just said about the Christ. They think I've gone to Him. They think that in their mind, or they say that under their breath. I've gone to Him. I was in trouble. You know, I went to God, preacher man. I'll tell you what, I prayed. I poured out my heart. You know what? He didn't listen to me. He didn't listen to me one iota. He denied my prayer. Oh, man. I say what I'm saying about the Christ tonight, and people are hearing that in their cynicism. They're stuck in their little sin loop. They're in their pity party, and that's where they go. That's where they go. They say, in my greatest need, they say, in my darkest hour, I felt abandoned by the Jesus that you preach about. Well, if someone were to actually voice that to me, this is how I would respond. I would respond, that is exactly the meaning of Christmas that you just shared with me. And their little minds would start to spin up and the smoke would begin to pour out of their proverbial ears and they would be scratching their heads. They would, what are you talking about? Jesus has experienced what you went through multiplied by infinity. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, drops of blood, I mean, He was sweating and agonizing, thinking about carrying the very sins of all humanity on His shoulders on that cross and having His Father turn His back on Him. My goodness. The passage reads in Matthew 26:39, Garden of Gethsemane encounter. It reads, and He went a little further, talking about Jesus, a little beyond them, that inner circle that He had invited to come pray with Him. And they didn't pray, they slept. It says, and He went a little beyond them and fell on His face, and He prayed. And this is what He said, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as You will." And we all know the gospel story. He gets up from that moment, and He's resolute, and He goes to the cross for me and you. See, Jesus was tortured. He was turned down. He was seemingly ignored, and then He was tortured. Let me tell you something. Jesus can relate to you. He can relate to you because you can experience the grace of God today. Christmas means that when you're in trouble, when you are struggling, when you have problems, and you feel like God's not listening, and in fact not answering your prayers, the wonderful counselor's been there, friend. He's just waiting to see what you're going to do next. He hadn't said no. He's just saying, wait. I'm testing your mettle. I'm trying to teach you a lesson. Hang in there. Amen? Christmas is about God's grace. It's about the Word. And finally tonight, Christmas is about God's glory. Verse 14, we hit it again. We saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. It finally dawned on me studying this year. This, you know, certainly I've studied John 1, 1 through 14, 1 through 18, studied the Gospel of John. I don't think I've preached through the Gospel of John. That'd probably be the next one to preach through. Preach through Mark, preach through Matthew. Yeah, probably be Mark, or probably be John before we do Luke. I don't know. The first time it dawned on me, all that medieval art, you know, about the baby Jesus. I've always wondered, why they got Jesus glowing? Why they got Jesus all glowing? Well, this is why they got Jesus glowing, what John says. Amen. We saw His glory. Glory is of the only begotten. From the Father, full of grace and truth. Maybe when Jesus was born. Maybe when they laid Him in a manger. Maybe when they stood over Him. His Shekinah glory came forth. Who knows? John's Gospel talks about it. Talks about how we saw His glory. Who knows? When Jesus dwelt, when He tabernacled, as your Bibles talk about, the people beheld the glory of God. The Old Testament saints, that's what they wanted. They wanted the glory of God. The Old Testament people, they wanted to get in on that glory of God, but they couldn't. They had to go through that temple, right? They had to go through that process. They had to be held off. Only that high priest once a year could experience it. The Old Testament, the glory of God is represented by smoking mountains. The glory of God is represented by pillars of fire. The glory of God is represented by consuming fire. But in the New Testament, via John's one verse, his one verse Christmas story, we are told the unmeasurable majesty of God and the transcendent holiness of God has become a baby. Has become a baby. And I want to tell you about babies. Babies are accessible. They're not going anywhere. You can pick them up. They're not 2 years old yet, right? They haven't taken their first steps. They don't even know how to crawl. Babies are accessible. A baby is safe. Again, what's that baby going to do? Gum you to death? They've got no teeth, right? A baby is embraceable, right? What do we do with babies? Oh, we pull them up close. Every one of my kids, I've worn a beard for years, but at the birth of every one of my kids, you know what Pastor Lee's done? At the birth, the day of, the hour of, you know what I'm doing? I'm shaving it off. Why? Because I want to pull that baby close and put that cheek on their cheek. And oh, smell that new baby, amen. Don't them babies got that new baby smell? Oh, they smell good, amen. I'm telling you, it's something else, right? A baby is embraceable. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, where the man was crippled, and his friends bring him to Jesus and lower him through the roof because there was no room to get him through the door. When Jesus saw their faith, the friends' faith, certainly, but also the paralytic's faith, Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, you go back and read that. The paralytic did not say anything. In the Bible, there's no place where God ever gives forgiveness if there is no repentance. And so, begs the question, why would Jesus have done what He did in Mark 2? The answer is, think back to that wonderful counselor. Think back to that amazing grace. Think back to what God has done through Christ. The paralytic, he looked upon Jesus. He looked at Jesus. He looked Jesus' way. He peered at Jesus' direction with an inarticulate, unexpressed yearnings. You ever approach God like that? You don't know what to pray. You're just crying out to God. Inarticulate, unexpressed yearnings for grace and mercy. God, help me! Without saying it. And Jesus was so sensitive to him because Jesus is so sensitive to us that He forgave his sins based on the man's faith. and he healed him. A lot of folks find themselves in a rut during Christmas. I'm so thankful James prayed tonight. My mother is having a tough time this Christmas without my father. She really, really is having a tough time. A lot of folks find themselves in a rut. Their self-perception about life, about themselves, is that things will never change. Things will never change. You know what Christmas means? Christmas means a lot of things. I told you it's inexhaustible, right? You know another thing Christmas means? Christmas means that anything can change. Anything can change. Christmas means you can trust Jesus. Christmas means you have to follow Jesus with all your heart. Christmas means it's worth it. Amen? Now, I want to end with this. And it is a poem, not a theological treatise, okay? So it butchers the rapture and the second advent of Christ pretty good, okay? I want to give that disclaimer. But I love the message. And it was given to me by a church member. And you may have already heard it. 'Twas the night before Jesus came. Ever heard that one? 'Twas the night before Jesus came. Anybody? All right. 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just like he had said. And though I possess worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It's not here," my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus, again, is drawing very near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible, its word, was true after all. Amen. It is, 'twas the night before Jesus came. Now, hey, I told you, what does it do? It mashed potatoes, the rapture of the church and the second coming, doesn't it? And then it mashed potatoes, the opening the book of life. Amen? That ain't how it goes down. But it's a very readable, lovely poem. The message is what? What is the message? The message is you need to have faith in Christ. Because he really did come in the form of a baby. And he really did die on the cross for your sins. And he really did say he's coming back a second time. And friend, the time is drawing nigh. Amen? Let's close and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you do and done for us. And Lord, give us safety as we depart this place. People are already starting to party and getting with it, Lord, and we just pray for a hedge of protection as we get home. And, Lord, we pray as last call goes out in the different venues and establishments that there would be some decent barkeeps and bouncers that, Lord, would call some Ubers and take some keys. Lord, please don't let people be so innocuous of how folks tend to act this time of year with self-medication, with alcohol, and help them keep them off the road to save their life and the life of others. So, Lord, we pray for a safe, happy, peaceful, wonderful, real Christmas in a few days. Thank you that we can make our hearts ready tonight. And, Lord, we pray that you be in the center of our fellowships, in the center of our home gatherings, in the center of our hearts, as we get together and break bread with one another, share presents and gifts with each other, and just fellowship with one another, Lord. May you be there. May we welcome you. May we rejoice in your presence. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for being here tonight. Take care. Online, folks, Merry Christmas.